We pray, O Lord, open our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In a couple of days, we will be celebrating the Reformation. Most of the present-day churches can trace their origins back to the Reformation. Well, if that's true, then why are there so many different churches? And what makes them different? Well, there are numerous reasons. For our purposes this morning, I'm going to point to one, perhaps to the major reason. It is one teaching that separates true Lutheranism from all other Christian churches. I'm speaking of the doctrine of objective justification. This is also called universal justification. What this expression means is that because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has declared the whole world to be righteous. When Jesus died on the cross, God saw it as though every human being died on that cross. As he says, if one died for all, then all died. When Jesus rose from the dead, God declared all sins forgiven. The Catholic Church states that forgiveness is not a universal declaration of God, but rather forgiveness is something that the Pope gives to people according to his own will. And he gives it only to those who perform certain acts of penance, certain works. The Reformed churches, and that would include almost anything that isn't Catholic or Lutheran, the Reformed churches teach that the sacrifice of Christ pays for the sins of those who are believers only. So he didn't pay for the sins of everybody. Now, when we use terms like objective justification, does it seem to you like a stew that has been cooked by some theological chef, but is actually kind of hard for the average Christian to chew and swallow? Well, let me ask you, which of these statements, these two statements, you accept? Your sins are forgiven. Or, if you believe, your sins will be forgiven. Your pastor, your parents, your teachers have been declaring to you the unqualified truth that your sins are forgiven. Period. It is not that your sins are forgiven because you believe. Faith does not achieve forgiveness of sins. Christ did. Our sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago. Before you or I were born, before you or I had any faith, God took our sins and placed them upon His Son. Jesus didn't die because we believe. We believe because Jesus died. We believe in a forgiveness that was an accomplished fact long ago. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Consider our missionaries. When they go out into the world, what is their message? Do they tell people your sins? Okay, let me back up. Do they tell unbelievers your sins will be forgiven if you believe that they will be forgiven? Or do they say, Christ died for you, your sins are forgiven There's a big difference in these two statements. The former statement causes the hearer to search inside of himself for the assurance that he is forgiven. The latter statement causes him to search the Lord and His Word for assurance. Now, if the former statement is true, your sins will be forgiven if you believe that they will be forgiven. If that's true, then people will be living in constant doubt. Faith is based, a faith that is based on faith cannot endure. A faith that is based on God's Word can and will endure to the end. The reason for this is that the Word of God never changes. What it said 2,000 years ago, it is still saying today. And what it is saying today, it will still be saying on the day that you depart from this world. It is objective truth. When the Reformed proclaim the gospel to the unbeliever, how can they say, if you have faith, you will be forgiven? Because they're talking to people who don't have faith. Now, it turns out to be a miracle of God's grace that some of these people actually do come to faith anyway. They end up not believing what they were told, but believing that Jesus died for them and that for this reason they are forgiven. Hope has been the focus of my chapel addresses, but how does hope play in here? So many Christians outside of the Lutheran Church are directed to look within themselves for hope. If it isn't to look within themselves to look at their faith as the basis of their hope, then they're directed to look somewhere else. To look for some kind of a personal experience that proves that they have the possession of the Holy Spirit. Or else it's to look at something like speaking in tongues or other charismatic gifts. Or some are just told that if you belong to a certain church body, that you will be saved. But for us, it is the objective declaration of God. As Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." They are forgiven. It's done. And so now, based on this objective declaration of God, I can say to you, whoever you are, and even to these people who may be listening to this chapel on the internet, I can say, your sins are forgiven. What was true 2,000 years ago is true today and tomorrow and next year, when perhaps you might have some doubts about your faith and your hope begins to wane. Don't start searching inside your own heart for assurance. That's where the doubt is. Search the Scriptures. And then you will hear God saying things like this: "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." And again, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And whenever you hear the word world, you know it's talking about you, whoever you are. This objective declaration of God is the thing that will erase your doubt and restore your hope. Christ died for you. You are forgiven. Period. Let us sing of this with hymn 371, verse 5 and verse 7.